द्रम कर्णे यशेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति न पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नक्षत्रक्षो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। सो फ्रॉम दिस शांति पाठ अलोन द उपनिषद इज टेकिंग अस टू स्तुति ऑफ various devas and the importance of blessing that is required from these various devas for our spiritual progress and even mundane progress to be possible. So here in the Santipada we saw yesterday, the student and the teacher both are asking for blessings, and the blessings that are asked is that may my ears and may my eyes hear and see only that which is auspicious. Auspicious meaning I will see everything in the world. I will also hear all kinds of things in the world. But may I only grab that which is important for my spiritual progress. And may I reject everything else which is of non-importance to my spiritual progress. That is the prayer. And so here, the student and teacher both are asking for blessings from Indra Deva, Vayu Deva, etc., etc., Brihaspati, etc., etc. And it is very much similar to the theme as we saw yesterday in terms of asking for blessing from Devas of all Indriyas, Karmendriyas and Gnanendriyas and Antakaran Chatushtaya. Plus Pancha Mahabhus, so 19 Devas and the blessings from them for our spiritual growth, protection of our spiritual growth. So protection is also important. Not only we have to acquire new wealth. Wealth means good qualities, good qualifications. Become a better listener so that Shravan becomes more effective for us. So those qualities were asked for, and that are the qualities for which we depend upon all our indriyas and the intelligence power behind all of those indriyas. So therefore we need the blessing of all the devas, including the deva for mind, deva for God for mind, God for intellect, God for my memory power. So may I not commit same and same mistake again and again. Deva of Ahankar, ityadi, ityadi. So all these devas, by the way, are all mentioned in Tattva Bodh. So I hope you have gone through Tattva Bodh here. I know that you have recently done Tattva Bodh in your classes. Yes, it must be 2-3 years maybe, I don't know how long ago. But those devas are all mentioned, correct? Okay. So therefore, this particular chapter is in connection with the chapter that comes before it and is also in connection with the chapter that is coming after it. So it's not some disjointed questions that the students raised and therefore the master is answering. Maybe the questions were asked in this order, maybe the master answered it in this order, we don't know. But it's a very logical order. So in the first three questions, the Apara Brahman, the lower Brahman, I get sometimes confused, you know, instead of Apara, if I say upper, then my English mind always says upper means better. So then I get confused, I say, oh, so Apara Brahman is not upper Brahman. Not upper or lower Brahman. Apara Brahman means that Brahman which is not para. Para means supreme. Apara means that which is not supreme. So the first three questions are based on the Srushti, the creation of this world. And then if this creation in this world is enlivening and is interacting with the rest of the objects, things and beings of this world, what are those faculties that are important for that person to interact? And do we have this subtle sense to not just focus on this materialistic properties or ability of these organs, whether they are sense organs or organs of action? But can we look beyond that? Can we look at the intelligence behind each power that is functioning? So can we look at the mind of the mind? Can we look at the eyes of the eye? This very much relates to Keno Upanishad that we have seen before. So can we go beyond this physical entity and even the physical capability? Can we go beyond that to the efficient capacity, the efficient power within which these senses are able to act or these organs are able to work? That is the point. So therefore three questions were raised by the student Bhargava to Pipalada, the teacher, in the second valli, in the second chapter. One is, which are those devas, which are those efficient powers, each related to a particular function, because of which this life is sustained? The second question was, which of these devas are self-glorified? And the third question was, among all these devas, which one is the supreme? Which one is the governing? Which one is that deva because of which all other devas are also able to function? Without whose power, in spite of having these sense organs will not be able to interact because prana is not there. So prana is the answer that was given. Now prana is also not something that is to be taken as air. Because we breathe in and breathe out, we call it pana, 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 pana. So therefore we may have this notion that, okay, the teacher here is talking about air. There will be a lot of hot air, actually. So he is not talking about air. He is talking about that capacity because of which every sense organs and organs of action and our antakaran chatushtaya is able to function properly. This is at the microscopic level. At the macroscopic level, we have to say, and teacher has said, that it is that prana because of which the earth is rotating around its own axis. That the earth is going around the sun. That the stars and the planets are there in that position. And that all the different kinds of energy that we know about, electromagnetic energy to gravitational force, to atomistic force, to anything, all those energies are also because of the prana. So that what prana has to be looked at here is not that breathing air that we are doing every moment of our existence. It is that which is the empowering entity. At the microcosmic level, at the individual level, subjective level, and at the macroscopic or the objective level, in the objective world. So that prana is being praised. Now, the reason why is the prana is being praised here in the second chapter is because in the third chapter, the stuti of prana is going to come. I'm sorry, stuti of prana is here. The upasana, prana upasana is going to be explained in the third chapter. So therefore, that glorification of prana has to be in our mind, in our intellect, in our mind and intellect, to be able to perform the upasana for such an entity which is so vast and so magnificent. So therefore, the second chapter is devoted completely just to glorify prana. And the third chapter, which we will see beginning tomorrow, is there to teach us how to do prana upasana. Now, upasana, I think I have mentioned, but sometimes it is good to repeat. So, upasana is called upasana. So, sandhi, upa plus asana. Upa means near. Asana means sitting. So, therefore, one superficial meaning is that this is something we need to do, sitting close to something or someone. So close can be physical distance, or close can also be mental distance. If you are sitting here and thinking about someone in India, let's suppose your parents are in India, or maybe somebody is in India, your sister, brother, whoever is in India, and sitting here, you are thinking about that entity, that person, then mentally you are closer. Although physically you are here. So therefore, upasana can be at the mental level. Upasana can also be at the physical level. Generally speaking, upasana word is used for mental closeness, not physical closeness. So therefore, when we do this arati ityadi to a deity, for example, this is usually done in a physical closeness. But if sitting in your meditation room, if you are meditating upon Lord Krishna or Shiva with Saguna and Sakar form, because I cannot say Brahman, so you cannot meditate upon Brahman. You can only meditate upon things that you can picturize. So Saguna Upasana is usually the meaning of upasana. And so that meditation should be such that mentally I feel very close to this object of my upasana, object of my meditation. Then only it is upasana. Otherwise, mind is wandering here and there. And we may have a picture of some adorable entity right in front of us, but that does not become an upasana because it only signifies physical closeness, not mental closeness. So the third chapter is completely on the upasana of prana. And then the next three chapters, which we will see next time when I am here, deals with knowledge about Supreme Brahman or higher Brahman called Parabrahma. That is the arrangement. Okay, so first six mantra we have already seen. We will do the last mantra to just get the connection, then move forward. So let us chant the sixth mantra. I will chant and you repeat after me. Ara ivaratanabhau prane sarvam pratisthitam रुचो यजुर्षि सामानि यज्ञ क्षत्रम ब्रह्मच। So here the teacher is establishing the fact that prana is the most important entity and based upon which the entire life creation is functional. Nothing will be functional without the presence of prana. And he brings this point home by telling us that prana is like the hub of a wheel to which number of yokes are attached, and the other side of the rib, other side of the yokes are attached to the periphery of the wheel called the rim. So the rim goes in a linear motion only because prana is there as a hub. If prana crumbles or the hub crumbles, the whole motion will crumble, fail. Similarly, if prana as an entity, a supporter of life as well as the supporter of the entire universe is not there or takes its power away, then everything will collapse. So that is the glory of prana. Therefore, he says, prana is sarvam pratisthitam. Prana is residing in everything. Everything, yes. No, I know prana is in me, but the prana is in that chair. Yes. Sarvam means sarvam. Everything physical, non-physical, everything is actually supported by prana. Rucho yajursi samani. All the Vedas are actually supporting prana. All the Vedas are singing the glory of prana. Whether those mantras are actually in the Rup form or Yaju form, Yajas form or Sama form. So the four Vedas are actually in three different categories we can divide, as we saw last time. So mantras that are set in metrical form are called Ruk mantra. Ruk mantras are those mantras that are set in metrical form. Yajur mantra are those mantras that are in prose form, Gadya. Metrical usually is Padya. And Sama mantras are those that are set to music. So those three types of mantras we will see. And all the three types of mantras are there in all the four Vedas. That is to say that since the book of knowledge is Veda, and that is the only book that is important. Don't say that was the only book available 5,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago. So what can we do? You keep on reading again and again. Bestsellers and all those were not there. So poor people were reading the same book again and again. That was the only book of knowledge. No. That is the only knowledge that is worth having. That is the knowledge of the knowledge because of which all other knowledges become unimportant. Knowing which, you know everything. Okay. There's one knowledge knowing which I know everything. What is this? So that is doubt will come. I had to study so much to become a doctor. I had to study so much to become an engineer or an accountant. Or I had to study so much for whatever. And then still I don't feel that I'm complete. I still keep on reading. Because so much progress is being made. If I don't keep up with it, I cannot remain a good doctor or an engineer or whatever. One book. How can you say that? Okay. To convince yourself that you were having a dream, What knowledge do you require? Wake up. The moment you wake up and say, I am awake, that is the first thought that will come to you. That I am awake is capable of destroying your entire dream world consisting of so many entities and so many circumstances. And you as a dreamer also is destroyed in that. Human knowledge is enough. Why? Because the entire dream became fruitless. You were worried that, oh no, I am late for the examination. And how am I going to convince the supervisor to let me take the test? Whatever those worries were there, that one knowledge was enough to remove the agnyan, the ignorance. Similarly here also, the knowledge of who I am removes the ignorance about who I think I am. And once we come to know that, everything else remains fruitless. Now that doesn't mean you forget. But then if you may practice con karega, somebody may say, I don't want this knowledge. Then I'll forget that I'm a husband to my wife or I'm a father to my child. No. That is not going to happen. For some people, that may be unfortunate. It is not going to happen. You will be who you are, but the knowledge as to who I am will make me free from all the shackles of my own mind. So therefore, this is the knowledge of the knowledge. Therefore, he says, it is in all Vedas. Prana is the supporter of all Vedas. Then, he is supporter of yajna also. All the rituals that are happening, all the rituals that we perform for whatever purpose, all those rituals also are supported by prana only. This will become a little more clear actually. So I will not spend too much time on it. And then kshatram and brahman. So kshatram means those who are kshatriya. Kshatram. And brahman. Brahma means those who are brahmanas. So the kshatriyas and brahmanas are also able to perform their respective activities, meaning the protection of the society, protection of spiritual wealth, you can say, protection of everything that we need to protect. And brahmanas are those who are the people coming up with philosophically lofty ideas and ideals under which the society can prosper. So those kind of activities, and you have to also assume that Vaishya Sudra also, all kind of activities which are being done by the mankind is all supported by prana. So prana is everything. Now I will tell you one more thing which I think is important. Because many of you have listened to a lot of Upanishads. Bhagavad Gita, definitely, but after Upanishads also. And when this Upanishad is trying to prove that prana alone is everything, a question may arise as to what, where is the Brahman then? Because we ragad liya hai na, sun sun ke ki Brahman to. Brahman is the highest, Brahman is the only one, there is no Dvaitism, without Brahman nothing exists. Brahman alone is everywhere, we are seeing as different entities. Brahman is a substratum of everything. Brahman is all knower, all that we have heard. And here the very Upanishad is saying that prana is everything. What is this? So two things I'll point out. Number one, in the Upanishads it is mentioned that that Brahman, that Atman is you. Here, they don't say prana is you. Prana is taken as a superior power, authority, entity, because of which everything is functioning. So at best, you may jump to the conclusion that prana is Ishwar, but not Brahman. prana is not pointed out as you. So those Mahavakyas which point out the oneness between I minus the ego of being I and Brahman is called Mahavakya. So Tat Tvam Asi is a Mahavakya. Prajnanam Brahma is a Mahavakya. But in order to reach Mahavakya, help is taken from another type of Vakya. Those Vakyas are not the highest truth, but it is in between truth. And those are called Avantar Vakya. So therefore, the teacher at this point in the Upanishad is giving us Avantar Vakya, with the help of which we can understand Mahavakya that is going to come later. So let's go to the seventh mantra. Oh, I said I will tell you two things, right? Okay, I finished my topic.
Prajapatischarasi garbhe
Tvameva
pratijayase
Tubhyam
prana prajaha Stvima balim haranti
Yaha
pranai pratitishtasi Prajapati Tvameva prajapati. You alone are the Prajapati. Prajapati, the creator of this whole world, creator of the whole universe. So you are the creator of this whole universe, Tvameva Prajapati. And Tvameva Garbhe Charasi. And you alone are the one who is in the Garbha of, in the womb of your mother. So prana alone takes birth as next progeny. And here when they say garbha, we have to understand it is not just mother's womb is being described, but father and mother both are being described. Because father and mother both are important. Mata is important and pita is important. In some cases, mata is very important, more important. Not only because they carry the child for 9 months in the womb, that is of course there, but even in the growth of the child, and the sanskara that the child will exhibit many times are dependent on the sanskara that the mother is able to imbibe in the child. Mother is able to transfer to the child, I should say. So this Mata Sabda has come from Ma. Ma is from Mapa. Mapa means to measure. So mother is the one who will measure the capacity of the child and give the child exactly how much and what is needed. Pita doesn't have that time. Pita is in the office all the time. Gurudev used to say that he comes into the home as a tornado and leaves as a hurricane. So here, Mata and Pita, both are important. Prajapati, Charasi Garbhe, Tvameva. So therefore, Tvame Prajapati, you alone
is the Prajapati, are the Prajapati, and you alone is the one who is in the mother's womb, and you alone is the one who is Pratijayase. Pratijayase means take birth. So prana alone is taking birth, and when prana takes birth, he will take birth as what? As prana only. From goat only goat will come out. From tiger only tiger will come out. Now I remember goat and tiger because I am drinking Vag Bakri chai, you know, that's why. I don't know how they mix that up, but Vag Bakri together is a chai. Anyway. So father and mother give this birth to a child. The child will come and the prati jayase. Prati here is indicating the pratibimba. So in the mold of the father and mother, the child will be born. Some characteristics like the father, some characteristics like the mother. Some facial features are like mother, some are like father, etc., etc. So prati jayase. Then, tubhyam prana, ima praja. Tubhyam prana, ima praja. Ima praja means what? This praja. This praja, which praja? All the creatures with all their 19 functionalities. All the creatures in this world with these 19 functionalities. Hey prana, are all tubhyam balim haranti. Are all offering oblations to you. They all carry presents for you. What kind of oblations are being offered? If you hear great music and you rejoice in that music and you start dancing to that music or start humming to that music, the ears are offering that music at the feet of the prana. If you see some beautiful flower, or you smell some beautiful flower, the information about that flower, which is so pleasing, is being offered by these indriyas, by these sense organs to prana. A noble thought that comes in my intellect, the noble thought arises in my intellect because of prana only, but then that noble thought of my intellect is offering as oblation to the prana. So every indriya, whether it is organ of action or a sense organ, are continuously offering oblations to prana. Yaha prane pratitisthasi. This prana is the one that is in all entities and all available form and formless entities of this world. All these adorations and oblations are being poured through these various indriyas. So therefore, tvameva praja, praja, ima praja, prahe prana tubhyam. Ima prajaha balim haranti. Yaha prane pratitisthasi. And in this, seated in this seat to which this offering is made is prana. Alright. Now, this offering that is made to prana, although the Upasana chapter has not come, this is only praise of prana is going on, can be taken by us as an Upasana. And the advantage of this is that
our identification can shift from the object of our liking to the subject to which it is being offered. So supposing I see some beautiful scene, or hear beautiful music, or eat some tasty food. Instead of offering that tasty food to my tongue, if I'm eating it, if I take the focus of attention to that because of which I'm able to taste it, that because of which I'm able to appreciate good music, that because of which I'm able to capture this photo in my camera, then the mind will automatically jump from the objective world to the subjective reality. So this can become a very important upasana to become introvert. Sometimes introvert is also not a good word. You know, these days you cannot say he is introvert. He is introvert. He will not come to this party. I want to be extrovert. And then sometimes we say, you know, that person not coming to party, acha nahi jayega, because he is life of the party. What do you mean life of the party? He talks with everyone and makes everybody laugh and da-da-da-da-da-da. So therefore, for party also, we want somebody who is a little more extrovert. Imagine you invite 15 people to your home and they both all are sitting like this, meditating upon something. Then your party is a failure. But here we are not talking about party. Here we are talking about oneness alone. In one there cannot be any party. Party with whom? So therefore, in this case, we need to become introvert. So becoming an introvert this time is a capacity that is given to us, and we can use this simple exercise to make it stronger. Then I think I would like to say something about upasana as well. So upasana did I say something about upasana? Upasana, I started saying. Okay. So anyway, so then I'll make it short. So upasana can be of how many types? Two. Which are those? Physical and mental. What is physical upasana? If you were some student in my class, I would have given an F. Three types of upasana. Physical, vachik, with speech, and with mind. And usually when you say upasana, it is usually mental. In other words, you may be doing something physically, you may be chanting something also, but your mind is also engaged, then it becomes upasana. If the mind is not engaged, it is not an upasana. Then it becomes a karma only. Kruti. Not even karma, you can say. It's a physical activity or speech activity. Okay. So, one thing I wanted to say which I forgot, because I thought I can draw from my own experience. This balim haranti, by the way, I am balim haranti.
his oblations offered to prana. So for the last 24 hours, there was no bali hadan for me as far as my stomach was concerned. So although the offering was to what? To my hunger, through my stomach. But it reaches prana, because the offerings are made to prana. So therefore eyesight will become weaker, mental capacity will become weaker, intellectual capacity, forget it, legs will become wobbly, hands cannot lift as much. So although we feel that this food and intake it all only is being offered to a particular organ, non-offering to that extent will make prana also weak, which affects all the other indriyas and functions at the same time. So therefore important, this I thought it was important, because therefore importance of all indriyas acting together and offering their various bali to the prana is important. Okay. So here then, if we understand the relationship between the prana and the indriya, we can say that prana is the karana shakti and indriya is karya shakti. So prana is the cause, indriya is the effect. Just as Ishwar is the cause and the universe is the effect. So there is a lot of logic that has gone in here when we analyze it. Okay, let's chant the next.
देवानामसि वहनितम् पितॄणां प्रथमास्वधा ऋषीणां चरितं सत्यम् अथर्वाङ्गिरसामसि.
ओके. देवानाम् असि वहनी तमः. यू आर द वहनी, यू आर द बिगेस्ट कैरियर, यू आर द फेडरल एक्सप्रेस और DLH और वॉट एवर यू यूज ऑफ व्हाट. यू आर द कैरियर ऑफ ऑफरिंग्स to Devanam, all the offerings that are made in the name of Devas is being conducted by you. Indeed, you are Pitrunam Prathama Svada. You are actually the first offering offered to the forefathers. The first offering made to the forefathers, you are the one who is carrying it to them, to their world. Rushinam Charitam Satyam. You are actually the one that decides the right conduct. Many other meanings will also come. We'll look at it. Atharvangiras Samasi. So one meaning out of this is that some two rishis' names are simply taken out of so many rishis which cannot be accommodated in one mantra. So therefore Atharva, Atharvan and Angiras, two well-known names of ancient rishi, have been chosen here. That is one meaning, that you are that. You are Asi. You are Angaras. You are in Angaras, Angiras. You are in Atharvan. You are in everything. That is the meaning. Okay. Now let us look at it a little more carefully. So here the reference is made to Agni Devata, to the fire god. So in succession, if we go, the grossest god is Prithvi Mata, Prithvi Devi, because it is feminine, so we say Devi or Mata. Then comes the water god. Then comes the Agni Dev. Then comes the Vayu Dev. And then finally comes Akash. So these are the devatas for Panch Mahabhut. So this is at the samashti level. So the devas at the vyashti level and samashti level, both will have to be glorified, because the teacher is trying to say or tell us that prana is pervasive not only at the microcosmic level but also at the cosmic level. And that entire functionality of the universe is because of the prana. Therefore, both at the adhyatmic level and adhidevic level, prana have to be glorified. Adhidevic means the phenomenal forces. Adhyatmic means subjective. So in the objective world is also supported by prana. And the subjective world is also supported by prana. So therefore here, devanam asi vahnitama, this carrying capacity of the prana, the Agni Deva is really being glorified. Then we will see that Vayu Deva will be glorified also later. And you are the best carrier to the Pitru Loka. And here the word that is used is Swadha. So we normally actually Pindadana, we call it. So the forefathers, we offer food. Pindadana. So when this food is offered, prana is the one that is going to carry it. And the chanting is called Swadha, Swadha, Swadha. Not Swaha. Because when we offer it in the Yajna to the Devatas, then we call Swaha. Now Rushinam Charitam, we said Rushinam Charitam Satyam. So we said this is the right conduct. But that is only the Vachyartha. The significant or inference that we have to take is Rushi means to perceive. So therefore Rushina means those organs that perceive things. So those organs that perceive the things are actually the one because of the glory of the prana. So all the sense organs are being powered by prana. We can say that Rusha also means to know. So Rushi becomes the indriyas of knowledge, sense organs. So therefore here sense organs are really being mentioned. And therefore Charitam Satyam stands for the support of the existence of these sense organs. So you are the indweller, Charitam. You are the indweller for the Satyam, for the existence and functionality of the sense organs. Is another meaning that can be taken. Okay. Then Atharva and Atharvan and Angiras. So we took the word meaning of Atharva and Angiras as two rishis out of so many that could have been mentioned. But the meaning of Atharva is organ. So Atharva is also taken as a meaning of organs. And Angirasa is, Anga means organs. Angi is one who has the organs. Like if you are the Ansa of Ishvara, then Ishvara is called Ansi. So he is the Ansi, we are the Ansa. Similarly, all the organs are Anga. And the one who is sustaining the organs, or have created the organs, and maintain the organs, is called Angi. And so Angirasa is mentioned as, you are that, you are the life, you are the sustainer, you are the rasa, you are the sap of the Angas. So therefore, Angirasa, you are Asi. So there is a direct meaning here as well as an indirect inference meaning. Okay. Indrastvam prana tejasa. Rudrosi parirakshita. Tvama antarikshe charasi. Suryatva jyotishapatihi. Indrastvam prana. Hey prana, you are Indra. You indeed are the Indra. There is no other Indra other than you. You are the king of all devatas. You are the most valorous. You are the most survir. You are the devata of a deva. And you are known because of your tejas. You are known because of your power, because of your valor. Rudraha asi parirakshita. Rudraha means Rudra destroyer, you know how destroyer? Destroyer of what? Rudra is actually destroyer of sorrow. So you are the one who is the cause of happiness. Rum. Rum is the dhatu. So rum means rarnarevna, rona dona. So rona dona kyun aata hai? Because of some bad things, bad happenings, because of which the sorrow comes. So Rudra is actually the cause of sorrow removal. So Rum means Dravayati iti Rudra. The thing that makes you cry is Rum. And then Rudra means one who actually breaks that. So one who breaks this, one who removes the sorrow is called Rudra. So Indrastvam prana tejasa, Rudra parirakshita. Parirakshita means you are the protector, not only protector from one side or two sides. Parirakshita, you are the protector from all the sides. So you are protecting all of us, guarding all of us from any outside interference, from all sides. So when prana is there, and Rudra is there, we don't have to build walls. Tvama antarikse charasi. You are the one who is moving about in the outer space. Or I should say space. Outer space becomes meaningless. You are the one who is moving around in space. So here the glorification is of Vayu Devata. Suryastvam jyotisam. Patihi. Patihi means Lord. You are the Lord of all luminary objects. How? Because all luminary objects borrow their illumination from sun. Sun is the one that is illuminating all of our experiences. Sun is the one that is illuminating all the entities in this universe. There may be another sun for another planet, but at least in our solar system we have one sun. So therefore that sun, you are. Suryas Tvam, Tvam, Tvam Surya. You are the one who is appearing as the sun. This we have seen before also, by the way. The prana and rai. Remember? Sun was compared to prana and rai was compared to moon. So Suryas Tvam Jyotisam Patihi. So this is again stuti is going on. This stuti is important. You may feel that this again and again why they are glorifying Prana. So for us it may not have too much meaning. But without knowing the importance of an entity, we cannot convert or we cannot take our mind to think about it. So to think about an entity in a manner that is continuous, we have to develop two things. One is love and the other is respect. If love and respect doesn't go hand in hand, that upasana cannot be complete. Because in love, there can be moments where you will quarrel. You will quarrel with that entity, quarrel with the deva. You will become disinterested. But when there is love is also unified with respect, then that upasana, that continuous remembrance, that mananam will become much more solidified. So therefore love and respect both are important in case of spiritual progress or even secular progress. In Dainik Jivan also it is important. Okay. So in this stanza, yada tvam bhivarsasya, yama pranate prajaha, anandarupastistanti, kamayanam bhavishyatiti. So here yada tada has come. So yada means when, tvam, you. When you pour down on what? Pour down on praja, all the living entities, all the creatures in form of rain. So when the shower takes place, this praja, the creature, become happy, thinking and kamayan annam bhavishyati. They feel happy because they think that now enough food will be there for us to eat. Gurudeva has written very good commentary here. So somebody reading this in this age will say, no, 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 what is the meaning? I have so canals. Most of Arizona and California is getting water from canals and we are growing so many good things. What is the need for rain? So the canals can also dry up if there is not rain at the places that needs to rain. But the other thing is also, and this I'm sure you have seen it, a little plant that I'm trying to grow by giving fertilizer and water and whatnot I give. Because anything to grow in New Mexico is difficult. You have to come there to realize what I am saying. All type of things. And 330 days out of 365, the sun is out. No chance of rain. 35 days that there is some clouds, only few times the rain comes. So even in the middle of the night, if I hear the raindrops falling, I will take my karipatti outside. I'm not joking. And I'll put it outside in the veranda so that some drops of rain will come. And then in the morning when I watch it, the plant has become like that. Until then it was like this. No amount of my water that I give will make much difference. But few sprinkles of sour. Prana is coming in the form of rain. Prana te pra, and the praja becomes happy because now they have enough food to eat. Ananda rupa tisthanti, and those the people are actually remain delighted, jumping with joy, because you shower down as rain, a prana. So here, in the last stanza, we saw that antarikshe charasi. So Vayu Devata was praised. Here, Anna is being praised. So Prithvi Devi is being praised. Because Vanaspati will not grow. Any plants will not grow. So you see how systematically all the Pancha Mahabhut are also glorified. And the connection between them is also so. You as a prana, as a sun, evaporate the very water because of which clouds form. And the clouds again rain down. So clouds are in the air, in the sky. And sun is beyond space, outer space. It is in the outer space. So therefore, everywhere systematically, all the way up to the earth, from the outer space to this world, everything is because of the grace of the prana. Nothing escapes the grace of prana. So now if we really understand that, then how much reverence and respect there will be for prana. So dar dar ke nahi ki prana chala gaya toh main bhi chala gaya. Because that was shown. That the moment prana got up, all the other indriyas also had to get up. You know, they cannot sit if the prana is not there. So that is fear. But not out of fear, but out of reverence. How much has prana been giving me through the light of the sun, through the showers, through the fertility of the soil? How much it is being given me? So with that reverence, we must praise that entity because of which life is life. That because of which life is sustained, life is created. So therefore, Anand Rupa Tisthanti. People remain happy after the rain. Okay. Now we go to the 11th. 11th mantra is really peculiar. I'll tell you about it. Vratyasvam praneka rusihi. Atta visvasya satpatihi. Vayamadhyasya dātāraha. Pitātvam mātarishvanaha. Here this word which is used is little peculiar, because vrātya is a word that is used for someone who is not purified. So therefore, prana is you are unpure, is what is mentioned superficially. Huh? We have to understand the real meaning. So vratyasva praneka. Hey prana, you are unpurified. This is called ninda stuti. That is to say that sometimes stuti is also in ninda. In negativity also you do stuti. So vratya typically is the word that is used if the purification ceremony is not done. So in the old times, before we study the scriptures. Because the first phase of life was to go study the scriptures and also study all the worldly things also. How to keep accounting and how to help yourself through medicine, herbal medicines, and how to fight war, and all that was being taught. So students were sent to Gurukula, away from father and mother. And at what age they should go, that was also given. And if you don't do that, then you are Vratya. In the sense that you did not follow the principles of dharma. Now, you know, we don't have to take it literally. But basically for Brahmanas, it was necessary that the Brahmana parents will send their son to Gurukul between the age of 5 and 7. After 7, they cannot send. That means, although he has taken birth in Brahman family, an educated family, family of philosophers, family of high thinkers, but they were not allowed to study, then they cannot follow the footsteps of their father or mother. For Kshatriya, they were supposed to be sent to the teachers between the age of 9 and 11. So 7 to 9, nobody. Huh? This is how it is mentioned. I heard. And then for the Vaishya, they were supposed to go between 11 to 30. This was the kram, this was the niyam, this was the injunctions. And for Sudra, it was not necessary. It was considered not necessary. Because Sudras were supposedly menial laborers, and so they don't need to really study engineering and medicine and all that, because not that they were prevented. And we have to understand also that according to Bhagavad Gita alone, the classification of people were done according to their aptitude, guna. So therefore, in a Brahman family, there could be a Sudra and there could be a Brahman. Every son is different, every daughter is different, or siblings are different. They have different scope of growth. So therefore, those who had the capacity to grow as an intellectual force, and we don't allow them to study, then that becomes Vatya of a Brahmin. Or they are not able to study because of whatever. So therefore, Vratya is a negativity in the non-purity. This is used for prana. So why is prana being called as unpure, impure? That's a question. So Shankaracharya in his commentary has given two reasons. Reason number one is that prana is nothing other than Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is the total mind, total intellect. The total mind, total intellect, or the totality of the subtle body is called Hiranyagarbha. And it has come from Ishvara, Karan Sarir. So this Hiranyagarbha is considered to be ever pure. So for one who is pure, no symbolic purification is necessary. So pranaka purification is why? So therefore we can address prana as Vratya, number one. Number two is, Prajapati created prana, let us say, in the form of prana and rai. But they are not too different. They are the same with complementary characteristics. So that mantra also we have seen in the first chapter. Prana is indeed Rai, Rai is indeed Prana, remember? So Prana and Rai are one in the same. Now because Prana is the firstborn, in order to do some Vedic rituals, you require at least two people. Aisi jaake janmi pehen liya. You require two people. Somebody has to do some yagna and then do chant some mantras, and then somebody has to be there. Otherwise, how can the purification ceremony can happen? Therefore, in the case of Prana, because he was the firstborn, it was not possible. So these two reasons are given by Shankaracharya himself in his commentary. So therefore, Prana is listed here as Vratya. So Vratya Svam Praneka. Now Prana, sorry, actually, I can take Praneka or I can break it here. I can say Vratya Svam Prana Ekarsi Aptatta. So Ekarsi is actually a type of fire. What do you mean by fire? Fire is fire. No. There are number of fires are there. There is Ekarsi Agna, there is Grahapati Agna, there is Avahani Agna, Agni. Lot of different fires are actually mentioned in the Vedas, and they are all connected to specific ritual. And in those days, fire was very important. Here fire is also very important. Before you leave your house, check your gas a couple of times. Make sure it's not on. Because by the time you go home, the home may not be there standing. So fire is important. But in the old days, fire was very important for all kinds of rituals. And in fact, even today also, when we traditionally do anything, even do arati, fire has to be there. Without fire, how can you do arati? So each household used to have a central fire. And that fire has to be burning at all times. You cannot shut it off. And by accident, if that fire gets shut off, you go get it from where? You cannot light it up again. You have to go to neighbor's house and light up something from there and then bring that fire into your house, because the neighbor's fire is still burning continuously. You cannot light up another ghas tel dalke, kerosene dalke, you cannot. And then any rituals, even like daily prayers and everything that people used to do, for every prayer, for every upasana, not every upasana, but most upasana and ritualistic activities at least, we require fire. So for those daily also, the main person in the house will go to that fire, Grahapatya, fire in the middle of the house, and then light up the light from there, bring it to the puja room or whatever, meditation room. The whole family will do the puja ityadi ritual together, and then that fire was taken back and merged into the fire that is burning at all times. This was very symbolic, but very effective. That is to say that there is a central source of power. There is a central source of energy which is empowering all the daily activities. So that everything that we do is related back to the substratum. Remember I told you yesterday? Even in this Upanishad also, the teachers try, is even in superficial answers, the teacher has never deviated from the truth, Vedantic truth, which is that there is nothing other than that one source called Brahman. And so again and again through these mantras, about the Apara Brahma, the Para Brahma is indicated. So Ekarsi used to be the type of fire to which Atharvan Vedic time was very much familiar with. So therefore, Ekarsi is the name of a fire. By the way, these fires also, they were, of course, different fires were called for different rituals. But different fires are also to be lighted in different types of Vedis also. The shape has to be, that was also prescribed as to what kind of shape in which the fire will have to be burned. So prana eka rishi attam visvasya satpatihi. So atta means eater, enjoyer, bhokta. So you alone are the enjoyer, you alone are the receiver of all this yajna, etc. that we are doing, all rituals that you are doing. We are doing it for your sake. You are the one who is being appreciated, you are the one who is being propitiated to, you are the one who is being glorified. Atta. Satpatihi. Satpati means, Pati means Lord. Sat means truth. So you are the Lord of all that exists. Existence. Sat means existence. So everything that exists here, you are the Lord of that existence. Vayam adyasya datarah pitatvam. You are the Father. And datarah, we are the givers. Givers of what? Vayam adasya. Vayam means, adasya means food oblations. So whatever food we feed through our indriyas, not only just physical food that we eat with our mouth, all the food, all the things that are taken in by the indriyas, sense organs, all that is being offered to you only. You are the Father, Matarishvan. So this Matarishva here indicates, of course, the Lord of Vayu also. So we are actually offering all this to you. Okay. Ya ter tanurvachi pratisthita. Ya srotre ya cha chakshusi. Ya cha manasi santata. Shivam tam kurum modkramihi. Yate tanurvachi pratisthita. Ya srotre yacha chakshu. You are that power who is sitting or who is empowering the speech. You are that force who is empowering the hearing. You are that force who is empowering the seeing capacity. You are that power because of whom my mind is working. Santata, you are all pervasive everywhere. Sivam tam kurum motkrami. Sivam. Here the last part of this is very interesting. Yes, you can take Shiva as auspicious also. But Shiva is Santa also. So remember that these are all the organs. All the organs, sense organs or organs of actions and all those there. And then prana started to get up. They all had to get up, so they came to their senses, remember? Now prana has not seated down yet. He's still on the threshold, standing like that. Therefore, this other organs are saying, Shivam, Shivam, Sant ho jao, Sant ho jao. Please calm down, calm down. Ma utkrami. Do not ascend. Utkram is to get up. So don't ascend. Better off. We understand that you are the most important. So please don't leave. Keep sitting. Don't ascend. Okay, that brings us to the last verse of our chapter today.
Pranasyedam vase sarvam. Tridevye yat pratisthitam. Mateva putran raksasva. Sricha pragnyam cha videhina iti. Pranesya idam vase sarvam. So this prana is actually here in this world everywhere.
sarvam vase, everywhere he resides. Trideve yat pratisthitam, and that prana is actually sitting in all the three worlds. So what is the three world? I heard that there are seven worlds, some people say there are 14 worlds. Science is saying there are parallel universes are 14. Which world, which three worlds? So here, in traditional sense, we say that there are two worlds. World of the living and world of the dead. World of the dead, world of living, world of dead. The three deva means not only here, not only in the hell and heaven, wherever else there is life, you prana is the one who is supporting that life. So prana alone therefore is responsible for all activities, all the force, all the energy, all the power expressed anywhere at the individual level or totality level. Trideve yat pratisthitam. Mateva putrana rakshasva. Now, this says, just as a mother protects the child, likewise, you protect us. Mother protects the child. Why all of a sudden mother? Until now, pita, pita, abhi, now all of a sudden what happened? Mother. So, because the mother's protection of child is very different from the father's protection of child. Mother's protection of child is full of love. Father may get angry. And that time there is no protection for the child from anybody other than the mother. The father gets angry at the child. Usually it is the mother who tries to protect the child from the angry father. So just as out of tender care and love, a mother protects a child, hey prana, please protect us, don't leave, stay with us. And they are saying, Srischa prajnam videhi. Naha. Naha means not naha. Naha means to us. So please give us what? Please give us Sri and Prajna. So here what the person is, what the devas are asking from prana is, give us wealth and give us wisdom. Now in today's world, most of us think about wealth as only money. Dollar bills or golden coins or something like that. The wealth that is being asked for here is Devi Sampatti or the four pillars of spiritual life. Vivek, Vairagya, Samadhi Sat Sampatti and Mumukshutva. All the four pillars are equally important. Your bed is standing on four pillars. You take one pillar away, it is done. So therefore, without Vivek, Vairagya will not stay. Without Vairagya, Vivek will not be complete. Neither Viveka nor Vairagya will start unless we have Samadhi Sati Sampatti. And Viveka, Vairagya and Samadhi Sampatti will be of no use if we don't have desire for liberation. Desire for liberation is the ultimate goal because of which we cherish Viveka, Vairagya and Samadhi Sati Sampatti. So therefore the purpose of all Upanishads and the Vedanta is to tell us that in this important life we must use the desire to be liberated from is nonsense as the most important thing we can achieve. So that is the idea. So with that, this chapter is over. Now third chapter is there. So there is Upasana will come now, or Prana. That will finish in the next 2 days. Tomorrow same time, correct? So same time we will start. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Sri Gurupyo Namaha. Hari Om.